one and all, you're listening to the Best in Belfast podcast. It was me, Anthony.
And me, Jared.
You're listening to the BIMO podcast. Today we've got a guest.
John Garrity,
singer, busker from Tyrone. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks a million for having me, lads.
So, give us a wee bit of a background of who John Garrity is.
Well, I have been singing for a long time and I'm living now in Belfast. I'm originally from... I say Tyrone, but it's Tyrone and Fermanagh. I was born in Enniskillen, my childhood in a place called Trillick, and then we moved to Enniskillen for the later part of my last few years, and now I'm currently living up in Belfast. Been playing music, playing gigs, and it's going good.
How long have you been in Belfast?
Been up in Belfast for about a year and a half now. And it all more or less happened by accident. What was going on? I took
you put out by Parmilges?
No, fuck. I actually went travelling for 2 months and I travelled from Los Angeles to New York and was coming back. I come from a family of taxi drivers. And when I came back, I said, no, I'm going to change everything here, and I wanted to do something different. So people always used to say, oh, the amount of buskers in that city, the amount of buskers that there is, and I used to say, geez, I might give that a shot sometime. And here I am, still doing it a year and a half later. Give up my job and just more or less busking it, as they say. But it's good fun. It's all happened just pure luck, you know, and it's been going good, like, you know.
So you just busk and sing
Busking and singing, aye. So it's great to be able to do it, like, you know, and people enjoy the music in the city, especially, you know, and I've been lucky. All I do is go out and, like, I'll go out and I'll do a couple of hours a day, and, you know, and people stop and video, and that's all I really want, and that's the online exposure, that's the side of it that happens, you know, where I would normally be posting stuff online, the people are on the street are doing it for me.
Yeah.
You know, and
we'll get on to some of your online exposure later on. We'll keep that in.
Yeah, but he can turn it to socials now if he wants.
Yeah, we'll as well. Facebook, more or less, if you put John Garrity music into any social media platform, you'll find me. There's everything's linked. There's no one else there with my name, so.
And Garrity.
I'm definitely that John McGarrity.
So Garrity's G-A-R-R-I-T-Y.
It's good crack. You know, I always do think back to the first day that I ever busked. We were in Belfast, I think there was a concert or something the night before, and we'd been on the rip after it, and I had a gig in Belfast that night, so I went and I looked, and I was only more or less going down to Lough, not the bay, and I ended up going into Matchett's and buying the busking equipment, and actually went out that day and busked.
That was one of the things I was going to ask, is when did you learn to play the guitar?
What instruments do you play? Come here, I would still say that I can't play it, but I suppose any playing that I do, it's been happening for a long time. When I was young, my father used to torture me to go to lessons and stuff, and he used to always be like, I had no real interest in playing an instrument, but I think as time goes on, you know that you need it. You know, and then I started focusing, and I do love playing guitar now, and I like making wee songs, you know, as well, and I know I haven't put anything out yet that I have written, but it's hot. People don't understand how embarrassing it is to write a song, you know, it's a very personal thing. You know, and
I said that to somebody one time.
You're putting everything out there.
Like, can you imagine if we were in school, right? You see all these people in America. Oh, when I was a child, I was trying to do this. Can you imagine sitting in school, in secondary school, and someone sitting at a canteen trying to write a song? You'd say, get the fuck out of here.
I know. But that was it. Even whenever I was in school, my first music was country music. I'd done two albums. I done a DVD with just anything to get country music out there, and people used to laugh and be like, what are you at, country music? Like, and then country music took off for a while, the whole Nathan Carter thing, and then people, man, it spiraled after that, and that's whenever I was leaving school, and I was gigging when I was leaving school, and then it was taxiing during the week, and then I was like, why am I driving a taxi and not out gigging and doing what I love? And I think it took for me to do that trip to Los Angeles for me to realise that. And then when I came back, we done that concert and friggin' end up, I had to stay in Belfast the full day. I bought that equipment. After that first day, I knew I was never going back to taxi again. Because for the sole reason, if you're not doing what you love consistently every day, your passion's not the same.
Yeah.
At the minute, I can't mind who it was asked me last night about who it was listening to. And it was like, my head is wrecked at the moment with music, because I am listening to that many different styles, different performers, new performers that I'd never heard of before, listening to their style of songs that they're writing. People that nobody here even has heard of. The amount of music that's out there that people haven't heard of is mind blowing.
Belfast is a hub for music. See, like Limelight and stuff.
Yeah.
And prior to, we were talking before we come on here, So Far Sounds. Yeah. It's a global phenomenon. And Belfast do their own thing. But I have a friend, Claire, and she is constantly putting gigs up and places. And I'm like, who's this? Who's that?
Uh-huh.
Where would you go to get music in Belfast?
It depends. Like, it just. From
city centre on the streets.
This is crazy. You know, the Russian Dolls, I love the Russian Dolls, which is a Belfast band. And 39 Gordon Street, I went in to see them, and I was like, unbelievable. And that's the stylist. Like, I like bands that aren't just, you know, covering a song. These guys are doing something different and doing it at a different level. There's so many in Belfast, like the Empire. I went to see Lucy Spraggan in it, and she's like,
that was the girl off the X Factor.
But not everybody is going out and listening to that kind of music. But I personally love it. Even whenever I was traveling, that's the kid. I Willie Nelson's son. He's called Lucas Nelson. That's another guy I'm listening to at the minute, Jason Isbell. The amount of music out there, and you're like, who are these people? It's just, you have to discover music, you know. And I can't mind who, someone asked me there, what new stuff are you going to start to perform? People send me songs every day of the week. People have no idea the amount of
mess. People write for a song to you?
People hear a song and they automatically send it to me on social media. Straight away, my phone never ever stops with people looking me to do different songs.
And how important is it for you to cover a song first? So obviously that song, what we call it, was huge here.
A song needs a connection. Yeah. It definitely needs. Someone sent me a song last week. I was going to New York, and I wanted songs to listen to, so I don't post, just saying, send me some songs. And I think I got over 100 songs sent to me. And there's a song by Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol, and it's called I Think of Home. Instant connection. There's songs that you have an instant connection with, that you think, that song will work for me. And then there's songs that you hear and you're like, oh, I really love it, but it's gonna take time to make that your own.
Yeah.
Because anyone can sing a song, and it might probably won't sound right straight away, but the more you sing it, you know, you'll put your own kind of stamp on it.
Yeah. So do you have a favourite genre of music, or is it just sort of, it changes?
I like folk Americana. I'm open to anything, you know. I love Irish music, I love ballads, I'm extremely open to music, you know. And It's been weird, like, the past while, you know, there's a video on there, like, it's got over 1 million views now combined, And it's just, it's a song that I think the first day I busked, I sang it. And it took over a year for somebody to record it, put it online, and people from all over the world tweeting it, you know, could open. And that's All I Want by Codaline. And Steve Garrigan from Codaline messaged me and all, and has invited me on stage, and that's going to happen this year, hopefully.
What's it like whenever you get a message from him? Because I sort of
mad.
Like,
you see the blue,
the tick.
But man, not even that. I don't understand how to use Twitter. But you see one message, and then you see four. You know, so as one person tweets, another. Like, I think at five or six people with thousands and thousands and thousands of followers. Like, that Ramen Carmel, I can't even pronounce his name. He's the singer from the Phantom of the Opera in London. So he's massive.
Yeah.
He tweeted me and said, sometime that I'm over in London, come and see a show. He wants to have me on stage to sing a song.
Fuck out of here, really?
It's unreal. Like, the messages. Who else messaged me? This TV cook in America, she was actually the person with the most followers. She had over a quarter of a million. Oh no, many had she? She had, I'm trying to, I can't even understand how to, yeah, she had a quarter of a million followers, and she tweeted it, and that really blew up then. But come here, it's Mrs. Brown's Boys, your boy Dino out of Mrs. Brown's Boys. Got in contact too.
Real stars now, we're on to here.
I love Mrs. Brown's Boys. And then I was like, it's different. Like, it is, you know, whenever you're doing something and then you get a wee bit of recognition, you want that, and you want to keep that momentum going. And there's stuff that I've wanted to do for years. Like, you know, I've always wanted to do, like, maybe get a slot on TV, you know, maybe singing a song. I know what kind of, like, I know UTV is a show there that's...
Why don't you look at the likes of, I know, like, down south, RTE,
aye.
You've got the Late Late Show.
Voice Ireland.
Well, do you know what, that's one of the questions. Have you ever applied for one of them shows?
I've never applied, I've been poached.
Is that the way a lot of
them
shows, you think, are?
Funny, the other day I went in, I didn't know there was such thing as spam mail on Facebook actual pages.
On the messages.
And there was one in there that I missed from July last year, where the one said, come on and tell your story, and this, that, and the other, and I just didn't see it. And I think it was someone from Thames anyway, which is Britain's Got Talent, X Factor. But no, I'd like to do, you know, even something in Northern Ireland, like the Nolan show, they have singers on. And it's hard to get them opportunities.
Yeah.
Because you have to be at a certain level. I have a gait.
Are you alright? Do you have to give me a drink?
I don't know, there's something in my throat here. Fuck. There's a guy playing guitar for me now, and that's like, he's from Argentina. We wanna get different gigs planned and get the Empire booked, and either the Empire or else Limelight, you know, and have Belfast gigs, theatre gigs down at home, because we don't have as many live music venues down there. It's mostly theatres and stuff, so there's that much, man, there's that much going on.
So see, with the Codaline thing, when are they here? When did they say about getting you on?
They're writing at the moment. He is working on an album, so I'd say whenever that's released, they normally do a tour. Come here, could take long enough, but he said that it's definitely going to happen, like, so.
Yeah.
We'll see, you know, hopefully it
How
does.
Do you think you would cope with, say, obviously they probably do the SSE,
uh-huh.
How do you think you'd cope with 8,000-10,000 people compared to standing in a corner?
Come here, that wouldn't really bother me. I don't know. It'd be odd, like.
Because some people say, see, because you've got that big audience,
uh-huh.
It's actually easier than being face to face with someone, where they can go,
yeah,
hear your shit, or hear anything like that, you know. Whereas it's sort of masked, so it might be a bit easier. Obviously, it would be surreal.
I know what you mean. I could I done Britain's Got Talent last year, and I always remember when I think there was is it 2,000 or 3,000, and that was in London at the Palladium, and then I didn't get through on that one. They brought me to Manchester. They brought me to two editions anyway. Simon Cowell brought me back to the second edition because he thought that I was gonna to call it a moment.
Yeah.
A moment is whenever the crowd goes crazy and friggin', yeah. And it's extremely hard to get that.
Yeah.
You know, like Callum Scott dancing on my own, you know, that was, they have their own examples of what a moment is. And it just didn't happen, you know, but he said, come back. He says, we think this is going to happen, you know, and it's, that was surreal as well to meet him, because people think of Simon Cowell as a judge. He's not a judge. He is one of the biggest influencers in music to make things happen. He can make anything happen for a musician, and just to get that opportunity and for him to bring me back and then for to be working with his producers was unreal as well, because they were like, we were sitting in either London or Manchester, I can't remember, and his wingman like is there with you and preparing your track and doing everything for you.
And then did they do like the wee segment where they sit you down sitting on the boxes talking?
Oh, why? You do everything. You do all that. And there's a guy in Los Angeles is editing the music for what you're going to sing and doing it remotely. So he's sitting producing a track for you.
Yeah.
While you're
probably getting paid a fortune.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, yeah. Massive.
You probably couldn't pay him to do it, you know.
No. Yeah.
Massive. And then, just come here, everything, it was unreal just to even to get to do that, the experience of that.
Has that series aired yet? Or is that the one?
That's gone out, but they don't show everything.
Yeah.
And because they asked me back, they told me whenever that was aired, whenever that was being aired, that they weren't going to show it.
Yeah.
Because they were going to have me back. And then they asked me back, and I didn't go because there's literally that much going on. And
yeah.
That sometimes different paths.
Yeah.
I think as well, because you're in a different country,
mm-hmm.
it's harder to resonate with that. Then, you know, if I hadn't been here, I guarantee you, everybody would have went. Because all they have to do is start a rumour in the audience, well, that's the guy, the code of name.
I know what you mean.
And everybody's like sitting at the edge of the seat.
But so, I think that Code Line song, I think I sang it on. But from what I remember, I definitely did.
Mm.
And Alicia Dixon came up and held me on the stage. It was weird, like it was fucking
big fat hole.
Oh, fuck. Oh, it was mental, like, you know. But all good, real good experience, you know.
Very good. What's Simon like?
Dead on. Come here. People would say, oh, he's this, that, and other. He was 100% with me, and he advised me very well. You know, when he speaks very clearly, tell you and directly, tell you. You know, and I like that. You know, and he was just, you know, he said, don't be disheartened, but come here, you can't let them things get you down. I always remember, you know, it was like, I wasn't too bothered, like, you know, if something's not meant to happen, it's not meant to happen, you know.
Just back on to your early childhood here, back to some questions. What musical influences did you have growing up?
I was lucky because it was a friend of mine from Enniskillen, Neil Durst, that got me on track. You know, when it came to music, he was a school teacher, not teaching in my school, but he was very good at, you know, teaching you. Like, he taught me some guitar, he just got me set up with equipment, you know, and got me singing, you know, and that influenced me a lot. And then I suppose whenever the country scene was going flat out, I had a lot of good friends in country music, and just that, all that helps, you know. And we went to Nashville every year. I think I've been to Nashville.
Country's huge over there. That's hard. Taylor Swift come in, wasn't it? Three country.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been like about, I think, 15 times to Nashville, and it's unreal. I have so many friends there and stuff, and people that I keep in contact with, guitar players, singers, and you know, it all comes together, and that's what makes you a musician, you know. Yeah. And
getting all these different experiences from different places and learning from them.
Well, I was going to ask them what sort of the where have you actually bussed? You know, what companies and places have you bussed through?
Last year, I've done obviously Belfast, Dublin. Last year, I got the motorbike, and I travelled from Belfast to Holyhead, and then travelled down Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, Carlisle. I've done Glasgow, Edinburgh. I've done everywhere over there. New York. I've done the subways. You know, but it's so strict there. It's mind blowing.
Really.
But it's, you know, it's class. Like, you know, I really enjoy New York. Like, you know, and I was there last week. I was there in October, and just the way of life there is class. Like, you know, and the crack's good, and people really warm. You have to know you're Irish, especially, and you're able to sing. You know, it's a bonus. Like, you know.
Whereabouts in New York? I know you say the subway, but what sort of street, what sort of area?
You're in around Times Square, but it's extremely, extremely hard to get a spot. You know, an equipment, you know, it's hard to get your equipment set up. The same over there is what you have at home, but you have to look into it, and that's why I keep going back, you know, because over time you get your stuff sorted better, you know, when you get your better equipment, you know.
See the way you were saying there, they're stricter in what way? Like noise levels,
How long you can play. Dublin is unbelievable strict. Dublin is one of the strictest cities that there is, and they come out with the for your noise level and everything. And all that fine, you have to have your permit, everything displayed, and come here, it's like anything. But then the rules are there for a reason, you know, because if everyone was doing it, you know, it wouldn't work.
I'm surprised New York has a noise level thing. New York is one noisy city.
Oh, it's crazy, but
and as well, like,
oh, it's unreal. I'm
what your first time this year, aren't you?
You haven't been, though.
No. It doesn't appeal to me. I think Belfast is congested. I just can't see
nothing yet.
Do you know what? I'm a fast paced walker, and see the thought of being stuck behind somebody and not being able to zig and zag does my head in.
They'll be walking fast, you believe me.
Oh, are they?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's that.
I just imagine everybody.
Even the traffic moves.
2 miles an hour.
Yeah, like the traffic.
It's
even
congested, it's really bad, but
yeah,
it moves.
It moves even in Times Square. You think, oh, driving through, it's going to be a nightmare. There's cars driving through there, flat out.
So if I'm,
because
I'm literally just off Times Square.
Where are you staying at?
The Gallivant.
It's actually a nice hotel, actually.
Yeah. Brendan had said. So if I hear people being loud, I can ring somebody and get them to go down.
Man, you need to. Yeah. Where is there good in New York?
So he's like, I think the Gallivant's around in like 45th, 46th, something like that.
Conley's Irish Bars, that's the Pig and Whistle. They're all real good spots, you know, for nights out. You have the Mean Fiddler, Black Rabbit. Oh, come here, there's that many different places, you know, for nights out. Gallagher Steakhouse, unreal for food. I love it.
See the way you were saying there, like the crowds obviously are different. What's like your favourite places to play? Like busking?
Belfast. I'm always gonna say Belfast, but Manchester as well. Very similar vibe from the people in Manchester. I'd say the Arundel. But it's like to be able to get in a motorbike and have everything on with you is unreal. You know, it sounds like a dream. It is a dream to be able to do it. And the sun beating down. Whenever I done that, it was the weather was roasting here at home, like between here and England. I was just
loving life.
I was jumping on the motorbike and away. Picked the ferry that morning, was gone. Stayed in hostels.
Nice way to live life, isn't it? Just day by day, that's right.
But that's the best way, you know. Yeah. People take life too serious and worry too much about this. If you're like, I'm one that just I pack my case 20 minutes before I go.
Yeah.
I'm not one that sits and pre-plans everything. Get up and do it and see how it goes, you know.
Just have your toothpaste door written.
Exactly.
Condoms, really.
That's right.
Did you do any busking in LA?
No.
No.
I didn't like
Los Angeles, to be honest.
Oh, is it not?
No.
I thought it was a real cultural hotspot, though.
Aye, it is, but it's...
More for actors.
It's just like... There's something about it.
Ignorant to it?
It's... No, not even. It's... It's just... I don't know. I preferred Las Vegas, you know, and whenever we were doing that tour, we hiked, we done Angel's Landing, which is one of the highest platforms in North America, and I actually preferred being out, you know, and doing the Grand Canyon and stuff and hiking and stuff like that than the big cities. Los Angeles, for me, I don't know, I found it dirty, you know. Like Venice Beach and all, yes, it's cool.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I'm not.
Not
too densely populated.
It's
more of a proper city guy, are you?
I come here. There's the amount of homeless over there is unbelievable too. You know, Texas, Austin, Texas is the worst place I ever seen for homelessness.
Really?
And I mean that.
I thought Texas would have been really rich and.
Unbelievable. I went to Willie Nelson's picnic in Austin, Texas with my father, and it's a massive festival, and we had a few days in Austin, and I was like, this is terrible, literally
making me feel bad being there.
Thousands of people outside this like soup kitchen. I was like, this is unbelievable. Willie Nelson's picnic was out in the country. It was unbelievable. It was one of the best festivals I've ever been at. Everyone smoking weed and
slugging life.
People, no, but not even. It's like it's legal over there now. I don't smoke weed at all. But it was like, this is crazy, because everyone was, it was the norm.
Yeah.
And we seen some unbelievable bands there too. We seen Jason Isbell. We seen Sturgill Simpson. He's just unbelievable musicians that I really love. We've seen Merle Haggard, who's my biggest influence of all time, is my music. A lot of the small lilts in my voice, the way that I sing, is down to Merle Haggard, because that's who I grew up listening to. We played country music in our house all the time, and that was the way of life.
And you said that you love Vegas and stuff, and you said before you were into country music, they have like a country music. Is it a free concert
day
there every week or something? Or
in Vegas?
Aye.
And what do you
must
call
it? Must be in the outer part of Vegas or something, is it?
It's the street. What do you call the street?
Yeah.
Fremont Street.
That's it, yes.
Because the guitar player from Nashville that I was talking about plays in it with his band. They actually do. I don't know whether it's a free gig, but it definitely happens.
Did you go?
No. I come here whenever I was in Vegas.
Casinos.
I don't really remember too much of it. I remember I got my nose pierced in it. That's about the height of it. But no, it was. I went back then, obviously, to Las Vegas in the summertime there recently too, and it was with friends. We're going to Thailand now as well in March. I'm taking 3 weeks off to do a bit of traveling, so I'm looking forward to getting away over there. But I come here. If I can, no matter where I travel, I'll always try and keep music with me and to be playing songs, you know.
And if you had any, like, we'll finish up on the busking part of it, probably finish not talking about it a wee bit, but if you had any, like, random stories or memorable moments from busking?
Oh, there's too many to go through. It's literally something different happens in that town every day, you know.
All sorts of smack heads around the bin.
Ah, come here, it's weird. Like, I've seen people, the crowds that I do have is crazy. Like, I never knew what Culture Night was until I moved to Belfast, and then someone was like, oh, you know, Culture Night's on Friday night, and I was like, okay, what's that? So they explained. No, they explained, and I was like, oh, fuck, maybe I'll come down to that. So I done my daytime bus anyway, but I went out that night, because I do a gig every Friday, 5 to 7. I've done from ever moved into the city.
Where's that?
That's the Rusty Saddle on Howard Street, and we went and done that gig, and I went straight out to see what was going on in the city at this Culture Night. Literally the biggest crowd I've ever had busking. I would say there could have been 500-600 people around me.
and just a wee tiny busking amp, and people were going crazy. That's one that I always remember, and just some of the mad stuff, like, you know, the buck getting kicked and all that was, you know, that's...
Explain a wee bit about that for people who might not have seen it. So you were singing...
I sang the Ballad of Grace, and then some woman took it the wrong way, and more or less came over, and I didn't know what, come here to be honest, I have no idea what was going on in her head.
You see, when you watch it, I'm not being funny, but I wouldn't be surprised if she had a mental issue, as in...
Like, aye, that's why... That's
she
why,
was so erratic and yeah. screaming and incoherent.
That's why I steer clear of it, you know, and I have no grudges with no community. See, as long as I'm able to go out and sing a lot of songs, I don't give a shit. Like, people can dance around me and do cartwheels or do whatever they want, you know, but you get all kinds of mad moments in Belfast. Thankfully the majority of them are good. I do enjoy doing the nighttime stuff, you know, going out maybe at 8 o'clock on a Saturday whenever it's good weather and people are heading out,
they're merry and they're in a good form, and
that's a sweet spot, because, you know, all the same, it's my job, but it's also my job to make people happy, and people on their lunch break as well. That's another thing I really like, whenever people are on their lunch break and they'll put it up on Instagram, lunch break, and they're out listening to me, because you have to remember, in that your whole day at work,
yeah.
that maybe 30 minutes
is your escape,
and if you're sitting listening to me, like, that's what I want, like, you know, and people enjoy it, you know.
Yeah. One last question about busking. Sorry, two. First one, do you remember the first time you were saying you busked? What were your nerves like?
I had friends up from home. Well, I was up with friends, and they were there, and they were like, How are you going to do? And I, come here, I there was no nerves, because I've been gigging that long, you know, but it's a totally different atmosphere out there on the street. People are different in the street. You have nobody really to please. If you're working in a bar, you have to
cater to that audience
and keep it at a certain level, you know, and keep it flowing. Whenever you're on the street, you know, you can take a break and you can do it at your own pace, but it's a lot better, like, you know.
Are you able to control the room in the sense that you can tell if people are disinterested?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'm confident about.
How hard is that to do?
It's all about talking. It's not about the singing. It's about explaining about the song that you're singing.
Right. Okay.
You know, you bring them in, you tell the story. I'll always talk about my guitar player as well and keep him part of the show. He's from Argentina, and people really like that connection, you know, and whenever people are glued in and listening to the music, that's when it gets better and better and better, and that's when I try better as well to make them enjoy it, you know.
Last one on the busking for me anyway, is there a code among buskers? Like, do you all have, like, your own spots, and I'll do this day, you do that day, or?
No, but you do have a level of respect, you know, for other guys. At the end of the day, everyone needs a shot at it, like, you know. So if I'm set up on a spot, you know, someone will not come and set up beside me. But then I get tongued all the time because I'm too loud. But then again, you know,
It is what it is.
And people, if the people are coming and the crowds are there, I'm gonna keep it at that level. But no, you always try and look after each other, and if there's any trouble, you know, you go to the next busker, and you have each other's backs, you know, more or less.
An unspoken
brotherhood,
sisterhood.
Exactly. That part of Royal Avenue where I see new, there's a lot more people trying to go there now.
And people never used to go there. Yeah, people never bust outside.
You put Royal McDonald's Avenue on the fucking
on
map.
On the busking map. People used to never go. No, but people used to never go down there and busk. It used to be Corn Market.
Down Corn Market. At the most, Castle Lane. But you were up at the top of Castle Lane and Royal Avenue. And now outside McDonald's, I seen a girl with a keyboard, and then where your spot yeah. was, when you weren't there, I think there was somebody there. And then just
someone's in, someone will be in the other day too.
Yeah.
Then I'll rock in later on.
Clean up.
See what's left.
Cheers for the warm up.
Very good. Go ahead, Crab on there, team.
Where did we get to?
What venues and events have you played since Jared can't spit the bricks out?
Venues and events. I've done a lot of support acts and stuff, you know, in the bigger venues. But I said earlier we do Rusty Saddle, we do all the bars in town, Rusty Saddle, Broken Shaker, we do the Lansdowne Hotel, Benedict's, Blackbird and Derry, we do where do we do the Dirty Onion, and we're always open for new gigs as well, you know, but it is pretty hectic, you know, when we're doing a lot of weddings and stuff, and just trying more or less to get as many gigs in that we can, you know, so people hear us, you know.
How many times a week would you play? Like, venues, not just busking. I know you were saying you busk nearly every day.
It varies from week to week, you know. December, we'd normally try and do a gig a day.
Yeah.
You know. But today is my day off, so.
Oh, cheers for spending it.
I know.
And have you got anything big coming up for yourself, or that you're looking forward to? Or?
We're currently planning that at the moment. It's going to be released.
So
it'll be on Facebook, and I would say, by the time this podcast goes out, it'll be released. You know, but unfortunately, we haven't a date locked in. We were looking at the 20th of February. We're going to try and do something really soon. You know, because there's some bigger gigs coming up that we want to then release. We're going to do the Ardo and Theatre and Enniskill, and we're going to do somewhere in Derry as well, you know, because we're trying to cover all areas, you know.
But there's
plenty of stuff going to be coming up, but Facebook and Instagram is the best spot to keep up to date with that.
Is that the best way for people to get in contact with you if they're looking to book you as well?
To book me, I have a guy that's doing the bookings now and that's kind of taking charge, so if I don't contact him back, he will, you know, so.
And your mobile number is 07.
Someone will be ringing and saying, you're that bastard that was singing Grace. Wasn't me. Okay.
So are you going to do a few wee quick fire questions, are you?
Is there anything else here? Yeah, we'll do a couple of quick fire ones.
Just quick answers come to your head.
Sweet.
Go ahead.
Oh, you want me to start it?
Yep.
Favourite concert you've been to?
Coldplay.
Where?
Manchester, New York. I've seen them in Belfast. Just anywhere. Chris Martin's unbelievable.
Favourite local bands or artist?
Oh. There's so many. I would definitely say the Russian Dolls. I like Disco Beard as well. I think for instrument and for playing, I think my own guitarist is one of the best guitar players in the city at the moment, for my style anyway. So as far as musicians goes, you know, but there's so many. Johnny Brady's mind blowing as well. There's too many.
I know you don't want to leave anybody out.
Do you know who I really like?
Huh?
Do you know who I really like?
Who?
You know your guy Malaghy that sits in Cornwall.
Yes, unbelievable.
He's class, big Thor, motherfucker.
He's away. He's in Australia, don't know.
Is he?
Yeah, he's coming back. He'll be back in April.
So playing indoors or outdoors for yourself?
Outdoors in summertime. Do you know whenever? Do you remember whenever they did the big massive slide? And no, it wasn't then. Do you remember the time that the
Primark fair?
That road closed.
Yeah.
Did these wee chairs, like the council put them out, and I used to busk, and everyone would sit in these chairs. It was unreal. But they need something to get in the city.
Yeah.
They need like a, you know, an outdoor area for where people can perform, you know, but maybe sometime they'll do it.
What about like one of the stages of City Hall?
Aye, exactly.
Just having like 50 seats.
Yeah. Just Arkmere. Busking's great, to be honest. Like, you know, for people to stop and listen is class. Like.
That's actually a good idea. If you have, say, from 10 to 4 and do our slots, and then just have seats there and people can go up and listen or whatever.
Yeah.
Hardest song you've had to learn?
Oh, fuck. It was for a wedding. What do you call it? There's no kind of... Oh fuck, I can't even remember the name of it now. It's Jack Johnson. There's that, come here. Okay, what is the name of it?
Let's use Google. Unless you want to sing it, we can try and use
it. Pull that up.
Jack Johnson?
Yeah.
Better Together?
Yes. Oh, Better Together. Somebody needs to listen to that tune to hear how tongue twisting that is. It is. That's a tongue twister song.
The next one's going to be the hardest song for you to sing, but...
That there would be one of the hardest songs that...
Your favourite songs to play?
Bob Dylan, Don't Think Twice, is one that we're playing all the time. I love I Think of Home by Snow Patrol as well. At the moment, there's that many. Anything by Lewis Capaldi, we're covering a lot of his stuff. Tom Walker's new one. James Arthur, Quite Miss Home. I love that too. These are all new ones. If something's new, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
And favourite venue, either as an artist or as a fan?
In the city or?
Whatever you want.
Anywhere in the world.
Legends Corner, Nashville. Unbelievable.
If you could play one place anywhere in the world, just for you, sold out gig, where would it be?
The Grand Ole Opry. The music scene in Nashville is mental, and that's why I keep looking back to it. Because that's the hub of music in the world, I think, is Music City, USA, you know.
And then the final one was, do you prefer Oasis or Blur?
Oasis.
Oasis or Blur. Right. Anything else you want to get off your chest? Hopes, dreams, goals, aspirations?
Not really, no. I think everything's more or less covered. We've touched on everything there. Just
where can people see the viral video that Coda Line picked up?
The BMO Facebook page, because we're going to share it.
Yes, get on there. And
John
Garrity Music. And Instagram is John Garrity Music as well. Anywhere at all. YouTube.
There's some good stuff on YouTube, I was going
to
say.
Come here, there's a lot of stuff that's to be talked off that too, because...
The older stuff?
The older stuff, like, I've changed a little.
And you're on Twitter as well?
Twitter as well. I still don't know how to use it, but I've near 4,000 followers, but...
So what's your Twitter?
John Garrity, I think.
At John Garrity?
At John Garrity, yeah. Let me just double check that.
Or do we just search
Coda Lane? @John_Garrity.
Underscore is important.
Yes.
Just to get Mick Garrity or something.
I know. Exactly.
They did do that. Right, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks
for
you guys. Cheers for having me.
We're going to play it on one of your songs. So I think we're going to play it on Nothing Compares to You.
Yeah, this one is written by... Always trying to give a bit of info. This song was written by Prince, and it was made famous by Sinead O'Connor. And it's one of my favourite songs as well. If you ever get the chance, listen to... There's another version of it online. Just Google a cover of this as well, because that's where I heard it, and that's how I've been influenced. But unbelievable song by Prince, and Sinead O'Connor made it famous.
Thanks very much for coming on, mate.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot, yeah. Took your love away.
you being gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whoever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant, but nothing, no nothing can take away these blues. And nothing compares, nothing compares to you. Well, now all the flowers that you planted, mama, in the backyard, all died when you went away. And I know that living with your baby is sometimes hard, but I'm willing, yeah, I'm willing to give it another try. Yeah, no, nothing compares, nothing compares to you. It's been 7 hours, 15 days since you took my love away. Oh.